Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It is Friday, and getting ready for a weekend. Ireland's going to play some golf. I'm going to get out to the desert. I'm going to see my mom and dad. My mom, my mom and my not-stepdad.
Leo has worked his way up a little.
Everybody has got negative COVID tests, so it's now okay to get together, which is cool. And Brian Kamenetsky's online. Brian, what are you doing?
I am. I'm getting ready to take the kids to the park in a little bit when we're done here. So nice. It seems like everybody's active. That's nice.
Yes, it's approved activity now. Now, Brian, how is the late night Kamenetsky Brothers cocktail party going?
It is actually going quite well. Thank you for asking. And we had Steve on this week. I think Steve had a good time. I enjoyed himself.
I can vouch for it.
Saul.
By the way, I'm pretty amazed that that technology exists, that all of a sudden, just on Periscope, just on Twitter, that the three of us can appear in boxes and look just like we're on cable news. It's impressive.
It is kind of amazing. Like, you know, if this had happened, you know, 25, 30 years ago, I mean, none of us is doing any of this stuff right now. So, but it's a fun way to stay connected. People are up. Like, that's the thing. It's like everybody's sleeping schedule is totally thrown off now. Because of the pandemic. So people are up and, you know, willing to tune in. And Steve, you should know, you set a record.
Set a record?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's a relief. That's a relief. Did I beat Bergman?
Well, yeah. That's not why you got a record.
Got it. You think Bergman ever had that record?
The previous record holders were Dave Schilling, who you guys might know is a very funny writer, and Ramona, who did her appearance from her elliptical. That was very popular.
That was popular, yeah. Well,
yeah, Ramona, exercising Ramona, yes.
Ramona has been one of the biggest culture pop podcasts I ever had, surpassed, by the way, by double by my John Ireland culture pop podcast, which
is
easily the most popular podcast I've done. A lot of people think, hey, they should do that on a regular basis. And I'm like, no, we're completely out of material. We told our entire life stories during that
thing. Wait, they should do it on a regular basis. What the hell do you think we're doing every day from 3 to 6:30?
this is what we're doing.
We're doing.
Yes.
Well, I have not been formally invited to the Kamenetsky party.
We're waiting. We wanted, because you promised to do your appearance, John, from the hot tub.
No, not only am I guaranteeing that, Brian, but I think the fact that I will do it from a hot tub with proper promotion will pass Mason's numbers.
Absolutely.
You were kind enough last time to offer to come on from the hot tub, and that night there were people who thought you meant that day. There were a lot of people on Periscope who were disappointed that, wait a minute, where's Ireland in a hot tub? But no, we're coming. Don't worry.
Okay. I'm just waiting for my formal invitation, and I'll be ready. Now, Brian, what's your sense of – I know you guys are talking about this every night on your thing, but what's your sense on if or when we're getting baseball and basketball back? Are you as optimistic as Mason and I are?
I'm starting to get there. I mean, I think there's a lot to work through. There's a lot of stuff to figure out, and nobody's going to be in a big hurry. You know, we've seen Adam Silver, the reports now, 2 to 4 weeks, really from earlier this week before they even want to make a decision. Wouldn't shock me if that was closer to 4 than 2. But given the timelines, guys, that we've seen for how long they could stretch out this season in the NBA, an extra 2 weeks doesn't matter. So, you know, if it takes till mid-June before they make a decision, I think that's actually a good sign. It looks, knock on wood, that testing is catching up in enough places that the NBA could get that done without looking like they're taking testing away from the general population or, you know, frontline healthcare workers or whatever it might be. So, I mean, I think the NBA has a decent chance of coming back and finishing this season in one form or another. Baseball, I think, is a little more logistically difficult. But I also I don't think people would be quite as open about here's our plan, here's why we think it could work, and here's what we're planning on doing if they really didn't think there was a good chance. Because you don't want to get people too optimistic about it, their hopes up and all that, and then pull the rug out. The biggest problem in baseball I worry about is the money aspect of it. Right. And somehow, you know, that's going to undercut this whole thing. I can't imagine in the end that it will, but there are some real complicated arguments that are going to have to take place in baseball before they
Although,
play.
Although, you know, I thought Rob Manfred, we kind of said this yesterday, and Rob Manfred said it on CNN last night, is that nobody can be forced to go out on these conditions and play. And it may be that Blake Snell doesn't want to pitch under these circumstances. It may be that other star players say, you know what, it's just not worth it. I care about my health too much. I don't want to take a chance. In fact, when we had a conference call with our boss about coming back to work at some point, it was made clear to us that we would only go back to work once we were comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. Once we were comfortable with it. And I think that's the important thing to take away. Now, I think Blake Snell was being a little jokey and a little petty and, you know, made it about money. But I think it's possible there are some players, some star players who say, you know what, I care about my family, I care about my health. Maybe I've got an underlying condition. I'm just mm-hmm. not willing to take the risk of playing. I think that's possible.
I think so. First of all, my takeaway is that I'm a little concerned I was not invited to that conference call with our boss. But
oh, yeah. They felt you were unnecessary.
By the way, no, here's the thing about that call. I probably shouldn't go here. He's a great guy.
It's a pandemic. Go ahead.
But you know, Brian, how in like every class you took when you were little, the teacher said, well, we just got to get through this and then I'll let you guys go. And then There's some kid in the class who keeps going, I don't understand where you got the 2X. Can you explain that again? And you'd have to go through that again. So this call was, pretty much everybody that's on the station. Mason, Ireland, Sedano, Travis.
The regular show people.
LB,
except for Keyshawn.
Key couldn't be there, but I think everybody else was there.
Key's too big for stuff like that.
So, and it was Bergman and Amanda. Amanda was leading it. And so Amanda goes, I don't have anything else. Do any of you have anything? Who do you think the person was, Brian, who was the I don't understand where you got the 2X that kept that call going at least 15 minutes longer than it needed to be?
It was not Travis, I can tell you that much.
You are correct. It's not Travis.
It was not John Ireland. I'm going to go Steve Mason.
Not even close.
No, definitely not. I want those things
guilty
to go.
Party, the guilty party, and again, he's a great guy, but geez, LZ.
Yeah,
oh,
when you throw it open, LZ wanted to have like a complete deliberation over how ratings work. And I'm like,
no.
LZ, no. We yeah, were this no. thing was over 10 minutes ago. Come
yeah.
on,
this
man.
You
missed nothing, Brian.
Like, LZ is a real journalist, and that's when there's no danger of that with me and Andy. You can, we read the room. Even when we're not in it. The virtual room, we could read that. We would have had everybody out of there quickly.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, listen, I just got a great text that I want to throw at you guys because I know we want to do some stuff with Brian too. But we got to say, Steve Clarkson, the quarterback coach, the quarterback guru, mm-hmm. who's a great guy, just sent me this text, and I'm not sure what the answer is. I'm going to throw it out to you. Last Dance or OJ Made in America, which one is better?
That's a really tough call.
I actually don't think it's that hard.
I actually don't either. I've come to a decision.
I think it's really hard.
As have I.
All right. I'll say it on three. One, two, three.
OJ.
OJ.
Yeah, I would have leaned OJ because OJ was longer, right?
It was longer. It had more historical context mm-hmm. to it, right?
Yes.
It was an event, but it was about the backdrop of event, the time that we lived in, like it led us to understand why that verdict came out the way it did. It led us to believe that, you know, it led us to understand the backdrop against everything, the way everything happened. Yeah, I just think in terms, this one is about basketball, and it's brilliant and it's gripping, and I absolutely love it. That one felt like it was about history, and there was more mm-hmm. depth to it.
I feel too, John, like I feel like I've learned more from OJ than I have from this. Like, I love Last Dance. It's incredibly well done. It's not breaking a ton of new ground. It's more reminding me of things that I might have forgotten about. You know, there's some nuggets here and there, like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. But overall, it's more like just a reminder of Jordan, a reminder of that era, and all of these things that it's been, you know, 30 something years since Jordan was drafted and his career started. So you forget that stuff. But OJ broke more ground. I think it was a more ambitious documentary. I think it was a little bit less restrained, just because, you know, you needed Jordan's cooperation to do this in ways that I don't think they needed OJ's permission. So I think OJ is a more impressive achievement, but they're both outstanding. They're both A documentaries. OJ is just like an A++++.
Right. And the difference is that OJ was not, you didn't need cooperation from anybody. It wasn't filtered through any type of lens. It was like, here are the facts, you guys decide. And The Last Dance is obviously through the eyes of Michael Jordan, which I love. I think it's great.
But it's absolutely honest. I mean, there's an awful lot of honesty in more than I expected in the Last Dance. I mean, I think, you know, the fact that certain things were addressed, the death of his father, the conspiracies, all that stuff, he spoke very openly about that stuff. And, you know, I credit him that. He's telling his whole version of the story, and he's not hiding from anything in his past.
Did you almost say his truth? He's telling his truth.
I was just going to say that. Would you say he's telling his truth?
Would you say he's telling his truth?
There is only one truth, the truth.
If somebody else made a documentary about Michael Jordan,
it would be different.
It would be different, but I do think that I don't know. I mean, I think the expectation, like, I don't think the truth is James Jordan was killed over Michael Jordan's gambling debts. I don't think, you know, I don't think the truth is Michael Jordan was sent to play baseball by David Stern, and this was the way they suspended him. So, like, the league could, I just don't believe those things. That is such a gigantic story and conspiracy theory that would involve so many people that I don't see that being possible. Now, other things might be shaded differently, but I give them, like, they are making Jordan answer the questions. Maybe they're not pressing him, maybe they're not digging a little, but they are at least addressing the gambling, addressing his father's death and all that stuff. And there is some sort of record on camera.
Did you guys see what Channing Frye said about The Last Dance today?
No.
All right. So Channing, who's a really good interview and is really candid, said this, quote, talking about Jordan. He only had one job, and that was to score. And he did that at an amazing, amazing rate. But I don't feel his way of winning would translate to what it is now. Guys wouldn't want to play with him. End quote. You guys buy that?
I mean, I think there are some players who wouldn't want to play with him.
Kobe just retired,
right,
5 years ago, and Kobe was just as tough on teammates as Jordan.
Yeah, I think there are some people who wouldn't have wanted to play with Kobe and who wouldn't have wanted to play with Michael Jordan. I think it took a particular kind of person and a particular kind of personality for it to work. It made parts of the job really difficult. The end did justify the means. If you cared about winning a championship, then playing with Jordan is what you wanted. Then playing with Kobe was what you wanted. But some guys, you know, they're driven. They're not as driven. They're not as. It's not all about the rings.
Well, Brian, you know this, that, you know, a lot of those Clippers during the Lob City era did not want to play with Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. They just basically said he's too tyrannical. You know, he's too hard on us. And that's part of why Lob City broke up. And so I don't want to suggest that Chris Paul is as tough on his teammates as Michael Jordan, but there was that, you know, that would be a test case that Chris Paul was really hard on teammates, and because of that, some guys got turned off.
I think that style of leadership, that style of alpha dog, win at all costs. I mean, it's really a pathology. I mean, Kobe said as much when he was playing. I do think it's outdated. I don't think, you know, it is. We live in a much more collaborative society.
Right. Even, you know, in coaching, Brian, like,
yes,
would Bobby Knight work today?
No, probably not. No. Absolutely. The stuff that we tolerated from coaches in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, like literally physical abuse of athletes, like, just no, it wouldn't work today. But I think the LeBron style of leadership, which is still, I mean, look, LeBron's got plenty of ego and demands plenty of his teammates and all of these things, but it is a more collaborative style. It is not as directly, overtly confrontational. But it's also important to remember the style of player that Jordan and Kobe were is also kind of outdated in today's NBA, which also makes a difference.
Yeah, I think that the dictatorial approach of a star player probably doesn't fly anymore. I don't think there's, John, you would know better. Is there anybody who leads that way in the NBA today? In that dictatorial sort of way, the my way or the highway?
I don't know if Chris Paul still does that. He's in Oklahoma City with a really young team, and that team would actually be in the playoffs if the playoffs started today.
Right.
But I don't think so. I think Kobe was the last of that.
Right. And then CP's also doesn't have that B in Lob City Blake was there, and so there was that other alpha dog star. There isn't that guy in Oklahoma City, so CP almost works perfectly there because he's clearly the veteran who can pull them in the direction they want to go, and they're outperforming expectations by a mile. So
and the closest coach Mace that does that is Popovich. If you don't like the way that he runs things, then you can get the hell out.
Right. And I think Belichick is probably the same way.
Right. And by the way, that's what happened with Kawhi Leonard. You know, Kawhi Leonard didn't like being dictated to, and he forced his way out of there.
I think that's probably how many championships you have to win to get away with that.
Right. Right, that's a good point, that if you win, a lot more is tolerated.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we always have Brian on. It's really the point of having Brian on is that we get to have Ethan on.
Yes.
Ethan Kamenetsky is the brightest light in the Kamenetsky family. He is all of...
How old is he now, Brian?
He is 7. He'll be 8 next month.
Okay.
8 next month. And he is going to be a star. Sometimes you run across a kid who has just got an unbelievable amount of charisma. He has just got what they call it in this town.
It.
He has it. And Ethan is that person who has it. He is 7 years old, soon to be 8, and he will join us next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, what is going on? It's Friday afternoon, and it's a beautiful one. If you happen to be a golfer, good day to golf. If you happen to be a walker, a jogger, good day to walk or jog. Get outside, clear your head a little bit. We're always excited when our next guest is able to join us. He has got a very busy schedule, especially these days. He is he's a hot commodity on the media market. He is the true star of the Kamenetsky family. It is Ethan Kamenetsky. Ethan, thanks so much for joining us.
Are you guys still there? I think we lost you there for a second.
Oh yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay,
how are you?
Now I can hear you.
Ethan, how you doing?
Good.
What's the latest, Ethan?
Good. Nothing.
What are you doing? What are we interrupting in your busy schedule?
What are they interrupting? You have to listen.
What
are you doing right now that they're interrupting?
I am playing with one of my friends at school.
Oh, okay.
What are you playing? Right, what are you playing?
I'm playing Roblox.
Roblox, it's a video game.
Ah, got it. Are you the champion of Roblox?
Nope.
Okay.
You got to pay attention.
You should brag to your friend and tell him, like, go in the other room and turn on the radio and listen to me on the radio. That's what I'd be doing.
Ethan,
I'm impressed with radio.
So.
You do not seem comfortable with stardom, Ethan. Am I right about that?
No, he had to finish his game, but now he's holding the phone and he is fully engaged.
I was saying bye to my other friend.
Right.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, that's more important. Than here being on an afternoon drive in the number 2 media market in the country. So Ethan, tell me, did you win or lose your Roblox game?
You can't really win or lose.
Just tell them that, yeah.
Yeah, you can't win or lose.
It's more like an adventure game where you kind of keep playing all the time.
Oh, that sounds nice and fun. All right, so Ethan, since you seem to be quiet today, I think we're going to move right into the spelling bee portion of the program. Are you okay with this? Do you understand what's going on?
Okay.
So, yes. Lindsay
I
has
spell things out.
Yes, exactly. You spell things out. Okay.
So Lindsay has put together a list of words that each of us have to spell. Now, you remember? Do you remember who beat you the last time you were on the show?
No, because I don't know anyone's names.
Oh, very, very good. You're like much of Los Angeles.
That's a great point.
John Ireland actually beat you the last time we played, so you've got to watch out for him. He's very serious about winning.
I will get my revenge.
You'll get his revenge. I like it. He's smack talking.
Although, if you'll remember, Steve was the one who jumped the gun on Mason. Is the one who jumped the gun on a number of questions.
By the way, he still doesn't know any of our names. So
yeah,
I think
that's good. Now, Lindsay, how's this going to work?
So here, just to level the playing field, since you guys have some collegiate level of education, and Ethan is in second grade, right, Ethan?
Yes.
Okay. So what we're going to do is, instead of like a traditional spelling bee where everyone spells the same word, Ethan will have a spelling word for second grade level, and John and Steve will have one adjusted to their education levels.
Our level of intellect, assumed intellect. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And so the first, when you misspell one, you're out.
Got it.
All right. So I'm going to start with Ethan. Here's your first word, Ethan. The word is trash.
T-R-A-S-H.
Perfect. Ethan's on round
two. Good start.
All right, so then I'm going to move on to Mason.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a word. Unconscious. Unconscious.
Ooh, that's a good word.
U-N. C-O-N. S-O-U-S.
Incorrect. You are out.
No.
The correct spelling is...
No, wait. No, Lindsay, can I try and spell it?
You can. Yeah, we can do it that way.
Okay. Protect more of your words. All right.
That's a good point.
I think he got the first part of the word right. I'm going to go U-N-C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S.
That is correct.
Unconscious.
Mm. Okay. Great job, John.
You left out Mace. You left out the C, Mace.
Yeah, I left out the C. Okay.
All right, so now it's down to Ethan and John. So we've only got two left. So
that's it. I'm out of the competition.
You're out. You miss a word, you're out.
Yeah. So Ethan, if you spell this one right, and John misses his, that means you're the champion. You win the spelling bee championship.
All right, Ethan. Here we go. Bring it.
Pressure's on. Here you go. Word number two for Ethan is tiger.
T-I-G-E-R.
Oh, that was easy. Good job.
I have a feeling my word may be more difficult.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
John, your word number two is surveillance.
Like surveillance, like...
Continuous observation of a person, place, or activity in order to gather information.
Got it. Okay, here we go. Surveillance. S-U-R-V-E-I-L-L-A-N-C-E? Two L's?
That is correct.
Whoa! Okay.
Wow.
That was great.
Let's go.
That's a poll.
Okay.
Pressure is on. Ethan, word number three. Are you ready? Words are going to get a little harder as we go along. All right. Your word is radio.
R-A-D-E-O.
That is incorrect.
The door is open.
No.
But you're still...
You're not dead yet, Ethan.
If John misses his word, then you guys are still in it, okay? John, your word is...
Wait a minute.
He's rude.
John, your word is chrysanthemum.
Chrysanthemum?
Yes, chrysanthemum, a widely cultivated plant with brightly colored, showy flower heads.
Okay.
I don't believe him.
Okay. Hey, Ethan, it's my word. But if I miss it, you're back in it. All right. Chrysanthemum. C-H-R-Y-S-A-N... T-H-M-U-M, chrysanthemum.
That is incorrect.
Whoa!
is it?
Yeah.
Hryshanthemum.
Without
an E.
All right, Ethan. So if you get this word right, then you win it all. You're the champion. Oof. Are you ready?
I want to win.
The word is very appropriate for this moment. The word is wish.
Wish?
Wish. Like you wish you had a new bike.
Okay, W-I-S-H.
That is correct.
Now, wait a minute, Lindsay. We've each missed one word, so don't I get another word?
I mean, that's how you traditionally do it. But
just make up a word. Give it to me.
All right. Well, I've got a lot of words. So right. How about onomatopoeia?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Okay.
I always spell that.
Onomatopoeia. O-N-O-M-A... T-O-P-O-I-A, onomatopoeia.
Nope, that's incorrect.
Oh, that makes Ethan our champion.
Ethan.
Congratulations, Ethan.
Congratulations, Ethan. They're congratulating you. What do you say?
I get my revenge.
Yes.
That's in a drop.
That's awesome. I get my
great
revenge.
Job, Ethan.
Ethan, are you who all is going to the park, Ethan?
Me.
Okay.
But when I go there, I'm going to say, I get my revenge. Ben, every Tuesday.
All right. Who else is going?
Ben is.
Ben. Okay. Is that your brother?
And, yes. And my dad.
All right. So nice.
I actually had a spelling thing.
Yeah, you're talking to him now? You can tell him.
I actually had a spelling thing. Yeah. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yesterday, I got most of the words right. The words were pretty hard.
The words are pretty hard, but you got them all right. Way to go.
Well, good job, man.
All right, man. Hey, yeah. Ethan, have fun at the park.
He's already on his way to the park.
Yeah, he's already on his way. All right, thanks, Ethan.
Thank you for joining us.
He actually whispered to me during it, this makes me sweaty. So, he's feeling pressure. This is high-intensity stuff for a Friday afternoon when you're 7 years old.
It is. He did
Brian,
well.
Tonight, are you doing the dance party hoedown on your?
We are doing the dance party hoedown. I didn't realize this could happen when you do shows on the web. We are being preempted in part by your pretend baseball war with Sedano and Ireland. So in theory, we invited the winner on for some post game analysis. But I do understand, you know, that makes for a long night. So the winner is welcome to come on the show. This would not count as your appearance, though, John. So, you know.
No, but even I can't win it tonight. I'm the only one who can't win it tonight. Even if I win both my games, I would roll into tomorrow night. But Sedano or Mason could win it because I lost. Brian, let me tell you something. Your show's not going to be preempted for very long because my team doesn't get any hits. So it'll be like my game will be very fast. I think you have a chance to go on at your regular time.
Like, and between who did you draft, John?
My team was the favorite, the overwhelming favorite.
Overwhelming.
I have like 399s and 298. Sandy Koufax gave up a home run to Corey Seager.
Good.
I want to go full Steinbrenner on my team, Brian. I want to trade them all.
I feel like Corey Seager's going to remember that forever. You had a home run off Koufax?
It's a great moment for him. Absolutely right. All right. Hey, Brian, if I do win tonight, and it's possible that I will... if I remain awake, I will. I'll text you, and I will happily make an appearance. By the way, John, I made an appearance on their show this week, and I had my Bob Miller Awards right behind me.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Brian,
just by chance.
Yeah, just happened to be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have behind me.
I was going to say, John, have you seen Steve's hair? He's got a real Richard Gere thing going on right now that I think is
well,
very
Mace,
impressive.
Have you had a haircut during quarantine?
No. I'm going to have a man bun by the time this is over.
Very exciting. My wife has cut my hair twice during quarantine.
Oh, yeah. I don't want an amateur cutting my hair.
All right. So, Brian, if you have me on next week, hot tub's ready. Just let me know.
Oh, I'm excited. Ratings bonanza.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it, man.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Cool. There is Brian along with young Ethan.
Hey, did you hear any of the Aaron Rodgers stuff today?
No, I didn't. What do you want to tell me about it next?
Well, sure. It was interesting. He was very honest, which I give him a lot of credit for.
Okay.
He had a press conference today in Green Bay.
Yeah, I did.
First time he's talked
since
the draft. Okay, we'll get into it.
All right, that's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Maybe you're in the car coming home from work. There are some people that are able to get back to work. Maybe you are doing essential work. We thank all of you guys driving around, delivering stuff, driving for Amazon and Postmates and Grubhub and DoorDash and all those people, Instacart. We appreciate all you guys. Appreciate all the grocery store workers. They've been in the middle of this thing from the very beginning, but I think it's starting to, we're starting to feel it be a little lighter now. Starting to be, like, for example, Lakers going back to their training facility tomorrow. It's been approved by the state. It's been approved by the city. It's been approved by the county. Slowly inching our way back into life.
And I'm optimistic on all fronts. I think we are going to get sports back. Hey, before we get into this Aaron Rodgers thing, the LA Times is reporting that UCLA may have found their replacement for Dan Guerrero. It's a guy It's a guy named Martin Jarmond. He's at Boston College. He's only 39.
Wow.
He's African American. He's an elite fundraiser. He took the Boston College job in June of 2017 after 15 years as an administrator in the Big Ten Conference, where he worked at both Ohio State and Michigan State and developed a reputation as an adept fundraiser. So that's who they're targeting.
Nice.
Martin Jarmond from Boston College. We'll see if they can close the deal.
By the way, last week, John, I was very excited. I got a retweet from Deepak Chopra, who has over 3 million followers. Today, I got a retweet from Steph Curry, who's got 14 million followers.
There you go.
My mentioned Kenny Saylor's the literal inventor of the jump shot. The director of the movie Jump Shot, Jake Hamilton, is on my new podcast. It's at stevemason.com. And a retweet from Steph is crazy. By the way, we should ask for Steph right now. Now, this would be a great moment because he is promoting something. And also, he's come out really strongly in favor of finishing the season. And that's saying something because his team isn't actually involved, won't actually be involved in the postseason, but he's lined up with everybody else pushing for there to be a completion of the season. You heard George say a little bit earlier, he thinks the season should start with the playoffs as opposed to trying to finish any sort of a regular season. What do you think, John?
I think the longer we go, I think the chances of that happening increase. You know, obviously, if they could get up and running in late June, early July, you might be able to have a play-in tournament. But the longer they go, I think that. But I'm totally guessing. I don't know if Adam Silver's even gone down those roads yet. So it's, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Okay, so let's get this Aaron Rodgers stuff. Aaron Rodgers today, for the first time, talked about Jordan Love being drafted by the Packers with their first-round pick. The Packers did not tip Aaron, nor did they call him before they made the pick to tell him what was happening. Aaron was asked what was his thoughts when he heard Jordan Love, number one pick to the Packers. Here's what he said.
The general reaction at first was surprise. I think, like many people, you know, obviously not going to say that I was, you know, thrilled by the pick necessarily, but I understand the organization is thinking not only about the present but about the future, and I respect that. You know, I understand that their focus and their mindset, and obviously they thought that he was such a great talent that they needed to go up and get him. Like I said, generally surprised, but it's what those guys are paid to do, to put together a roster for now and for the future as well.
I think that the Packers brutally mishandled this.
Yeah.
Even if Jordan Love is the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, and he's not a dummy. They did this with Brett Favre. Brett Favre was the quarterback, and they drafted Aaron Rodgers, and he sat for 2 years behind Brett Favre, and then they moved Favre out and moved Rodgers in. So Aaron's seen this movie. He knows how it ends. But the more I see these teams handle situations like that, you have a star player who makes $30 million. I remember this happened one time where Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss made a big move and they didn't tell Kobe before they made it.
Right, right.
And afterwards they both said, that was a mistake, we should have told him. So the blueprint for how you handle this is out there. Rob Pelinka is really smart. He comes in and says, I consider Anthony Davis and LeBron James partners with me in building the Lakers. I don't consider this to be a traditional GM-player relationship.
Yep.
I'm partnered with LeBron and partnered with AD because all three of us want exactly the same thing. So if I'm out making a move and I'm thinking about doing something, you bet I'm getting on the phone. Why wouldn't, if you're the Green Bay Packers, why wouldn't you get on the phone with Aaron Rodgers just to say, hey, I don't want you to be hit by this blindsided. We're going to take Jordan Love. We're really high on him. You're still our quarterback. We'll work with him. But I just didn't want you to hear from anybody else. Wouldn't that have just been a respective courtesy that Rodgers deserved?
I say this all the time. The best organizations have alignment between ownership, general manager, head coach, and star player. They do not, and they have not. And by the way, let's think about this a little bit. Who's the one who really pulled the trigger on this? Who's the one that actually did it? Who decided that Love was the guy they would take in the first round?
Well, it's Matt LaFleur is a new coach.
Matt LaFleur, his fingerprints are all over this thing. He's thinking
right.
about where am I going to be in 3 years and who do I want my quarterback to be? He's from the Sean McVay tree. He was the quarterback's coach for Sean McVay. He was the he was a quarterback's coach in Atlanta when
right.
Matt Ryan was there.
But and LaFleur missed a chance here. To actually, if the GM wasn't going to call Rodgers, LaFleur should have called Rodgers under the table and gone, hey, I just want to give you a heads up about something. Because that's the guy that's going to determine whether or not Matt LaFleur succeeds in Green Bay. And you know, last year they were 13-3 with Rodgers. They were one game away from the Super Bowl. And he's paid accordingly. He's paid $30 million. And now you unnecessarily pissed him off.
Yep.
Unnecessarily. And you just could have made a phone call and made this a lot better.
Yeah, it's a real mistake. And by the way, in what we heard from Rodgers, he said every right thing. He said he made the politically correct answer. I'm sure he's angry. I'm sure he's pissed off. But his answer was very measured. And said, you know, I understand the teams have to plan for the future too, and said what he felt was the right thing to say. So good for him that he said the right thing. All right, coming up next for you, Chris Paul was on The Jump today, and talked about the state of the NBA. We mentioned that the Lakers will, on a limited basis, open their training facility tomorrow. Chris Paul on The Jump today talking about the state of the NBA and what he hopes to happen next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Okay, I mentioned to you when we went to break there. By the way, coming up for you, top of the hour, 5 o'clock, Fast Track. John, it will include the birthday game, which we've struggled with lately.
Have you told Sliwa not to listen?
I intend to. Lindsay, will you please text Sliwa and tell him do not listen to Fast Track today because
yep.
we will test him with the birthday game.
And you know, by the way, after you
so
text
well.
Him to do it, he will absolutely listen and then lie about
say.
It. But I will
I
beat
believe,
him anyway.
I believe in the integrity
the
of
cheater.
Poor Alan Sliwa.
Sliwa has already said he listens when you tell him not to do it. So stay tuned for that at 6 o'clock.
Stay tuned for that. By the way, multiple ways to reach us. You can email me, venicemace@gmail.com. I've been trying to respond to everything. You can use hashtag AskMasonInIreland on Twitter or voicemail. And we should make a big push on voicemail next week because they've been piling up. 530-ESPN-710. Chris Paul was on The Jump today. Here's what he said about his hopes for the rest of this season.
A lot of hard conversations that have to be made, a lot of hard decisions, but with the team around us, I think ultimately we'll get to where we want to. Obviously, we want to play. Oh, man, we want to play. We want to play bad, too, and I think that's a consensus for the guys around the league. We want it to be, obviously, as safe as possible, but the biggest thing is we miss the game.
Here is what he said he's hearing from other players.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. But at the end of the day, right now, no one expected this and knew that this was coming. So what is normal now, right? So I think that's what we're trying to figure out is what it looks like. And until we find those answers and we can come up with an actual plan, like right now is just, you know, it's basically sit and wait. Sort of the virus is in control.
Virus is in control. Scientists are in control. Data is in control. All that stuff. But again, today, if you're just tuning in, just hopped in the car, Lakers training facility will open on a limited basis starting tomorrow. We also heard from Dwight Howard, who is in Georgia, so he won't be there. And you got to figure guys are scattered all over the place, so not everybody will be able to take advantage of this. But it is a step in the right direction, John.
Yeah, not only that, but I think once we're seeing more and more states, this isn't necessarily the case in California, but we're seeing more and more states, more and more governors coming out publicly saying, we welcome sports. They did it in Florida. They did it in Arizona. And I think as long as these professional leagues have a place to go, they're going to keep moving forward. And, you know, we talked a lot of days. Our governor is extremely cautious.
Yep.
I mean, he's one of the last guys to let anybody do anything. And the blowback's starting to come at him the other way, saying, why are other states getting to go out and restart their economies when we're not? And his position is that I'm listening to doctors and making medical decisions. But when you see Georgia and Florida and Arizona saying, hey, we're open for business and we're open for sports, I think now that they'll just work around California if they refuse to open.
Yeah. By the way, this is interesting. Came across this. Of course, we're all watching The Last Dance, and The Last Dance is on the final two episodes are on Sunday night, which will include Jordan's final championship as a Chicago Bull. And this is the year that Phil Jackson laid out the plan. The theme for that last season was The Last Dance, and it was. Steph Curry told Bleacher Report that when they were going through their five finals runs the last 5 years, our last year we turned down an opportunity to have cameras follow our last season. Which would have been interesting. That was the year that KD had the blow up with Draymond. I mean, that was an interesting season. He says, I think that was the right decision. He says, if they would have invited cameras into that last season, he says, quote, you're basically telling your players that you believe this is the ending, and also you're violating a principle of the sanctity of the locker room. So it never occurred to me, nor does it now, to do anything of the sort for our team. What do you think of what he says there?
Well, I actually disagree with his assessment of that, because at the end of Kobe's career, first they shot Muse, where Gotham Chopra's cameras followed us everywhere. That was with when Kobe had maybe 2 or 3 years left in his career.
Yep.
And then the last season, we had a documentary film crew following us everywhere. I don't know if the Bryant family is ever going to release it, but that's all out there. That footage is all out there if they want it. And Mace, I can tell you that after a while, you just stop noticing those guys.
Yeah, yeah. But do you think you're sending the message? Well, first of all, the Bulls situation is different because they knew it was the last dance. Jerry Krause has already
very
said
unique circumstance.
To Phil Jackson, you're done after this year, period. And so they are in a weird circumstance because there is an end date to what they were doing there. There was no end date to what Warriors were doing. And I wonder if it does, if somebody comes in and says, hey, we want to film this championship run. I wonder if it does send the message that maybe this is the last one. Maybe this is the end
dynasty. I don't think so. I never got the impression that anybody was waving a white flag just because they're letting cameras in. A lot of times those NBA, like even those championship years with the Lakers, 8, 9, and 10, they let cameras have a lot of access. And I just think it depends who controls the finished product. And if had Steph and Clay, reached an agreement like Michael Jordan did with Adam Silver, hey, we want to control what comes out of this in its finality. I think they're going to look back and regret that now they don't have the choice. They don't even have the footage. But to shoot the footage, like Michael's brother Andy is one of the executive producers. He came on our show. He's one of the executive producers of The Last Dance. He's really good at just blending in, and you forget he's there.
And the backstage Lakers guys are everywhere all the time.
All the time.
Yep.
And to be honest, I know all those, you know, the guy who produces all that is a guy named Michael Koger, who we've had on our show. And he has a group of shooters, and we know all these guys on a first-name basis. And it just to us seems like another day. If Koger or Luca or, you know, any of these, or Mark or any of these guys are walking behind me with a camera, I don't even notice they're there. I might even turn around while he's rolling and say, hey, Mark, what are you doing for dinner?
Right.
I mean, it's just after a while, it becomes part of your routine. I would imagine this is probably what people on reality shows say, that after a while, you just don't even know they're there.
Yeah. Right. That's why they behave so badly. Because they forget that there's a camera there in the first place.
Maybe, yeah.
all right, coming up next for you is 5 o'clock Fast Track, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.